All right, good morning, church. You're probably saying to yourself, why is that guy up here? I'm saying the same thing to myself. Want to welcome you, want to do a special welcome to all the guests that have showed up today. My name is Brett Rodenbeck. I have the honor and privilege of serving on the elder team here. And the reason I'm up here, I want to let you all know, Mark is currently at the hospital having back issues. So this morning, I spent the last couple weeks on the West Coast and was still a bit on West Coast time, so my alarm went off. It's like I'm waking up, you know, what day is it and whatnot? Oh, I got to get up so I can go to church. Well, I laid back down, and half an hour later, what time is it? Oh, there's a text from the elder team. It's like, and Mark's like, I don't think I can do church today. I'm not sure what we're going to do. So we have a great plurality of elders, and everybody has their complementary skills. Ben, as the ex-manager, was already putting in, hey, we could do this with service and whatnot. Ross is, well, I'm in Indianapolis, but I can do the communication behind the scenes. Tanner is, well, I'm out of state with my team, but we're all praying for you. And Kurt is already doing communion, and I'm like, I guess I'm elected to speak. So I put in that I would speak. So that's why I'm up here today. So before I forget, like I did in the last service, want to let the kids go. There was a comment made, my sermon might be good, but it won't be that good, so they want to go. So the other thing Mark told me one of the times before I was preaching, he said, nobody will ever complain that the sermon is too short. So this will be a little shorter than normal, but I'm assuming that nobody's going to complain about it, and that's good. So we have been in a series called Unstoppable, talking about God's unstoppable church, which we are part of. It's been going for 2,000 years, over 2,000 years, and it's going to go on until the end of time. When that is, nobody knows. Last time that Mark preached, we were talking about Paul, and he was saying goodbye to the elders at Ephesus, and he talked about, hey, what would that be like to say goodbye to somebody that you're never going to see again, knowing that you more than likely will never see them again. If you've ever lost someone to death and had the opportunity to say goodbye, it's a lot of the same, but hopefully you know that you will see them again. And I like to think that Paul and the elders knew someday they would see each other again. So from Ephesus, Paul journeyed to Jerusalem. And when he was in Jerusalem, hard to say, he was preaching the word. And guess what? He was arrested. And I was thinking about that as I... because I came in early and I'm sitting back in Mark's office going through his notes. I have his notes and whatnot, so we'll go down through his notes, but I'm sure it will be a little different. But I'm thinking, wow, what would happen if the police showed up and wanted to arrest me right here today for preaching the word? What would I do? What would I think? It would be, I'm going to be obedient, I'm going to go with you because God's called me into this place, and if this is what the world wants to do, then the world can do it, but I know God is greater than the world, and it's all going to come out for good in the end. So the message for today is really conviction to convenience. It's going to be based on Acts 24, 22 through 27. And this is Paul in front of Felix, who was the governor, the Roman governor of the area at the time. He had already been in front of a couple of the religious councils and whatnot, so now he was in front of the Roman council. And we're going to look at Acts 24, 22 through 27. So it says, then Felix, who was well acquainted with the way, adjourned the proceedings. When Lysias, the commander, comes, he said, I will decide your case. He ordered the centurion to keep Paul under guard, but to give him some freedom and permit his friends to take care of his needs. Several days later, Felix came with his wife Drusilla, who was Jewish. He sent for Paul and listened to him as he spoke about faith in Jesus Christ. As Paul talked about righteousness, self-control, and the judgment to come, Felix was afraid and said, that's enough for now. You may leave. When I find it convenient, I will send for you. At the same time, he was hoping that Paul would offer him a bribe. So he sent for him frequently and talked with him. When 2 years had passed, Felix was succeeded by Porcius Festus, but because Felix wanted to grant a favor to the Jews, he left Paul in prison. So what did Felix do in this passage that we just read? He was convicted. He was convicted of, wow, Paul's talking about judgment, and all of this to come. And he was convicted of his sin. But what did he do with that? Did he do anything with that? Go away from me. I don't want to hear this stuff. Go back to jail and stay there for a while. Next thing we talk about is Romans 3:23. It says, for all have sinned and all fall short of the glory of God. Now we know that we are all sinners. We're all in that same boat. I do some stuff on LinkedIn, I follow some people on LinkedIn, not a Facebook person, but I do LinkedIn because it's more in the industry. But yet, what have I found in there? There's a lot of faithful people that are out there. It says we're all in the same storm, but we're not all in the same boat. And what I mean by that is some have bigger boats than others. You know, God gives out the gifts as he knows what our abilities are. So what are your abilities? Maybe you own a business, so you've got a bigger sphere of influence. You can influence everybody in that business. Maybe you're a manager in a bigger business. Or maybe you are in school. Where is your sphere of influence? Your sphere of influence is in your school, in the classes that you're in. You can be the example for those people. Again, knowing that they've sinned, knowing that they've all fallen short, but also knowing that about ourselves. Because it's very easy to say, I'm not as bad as that guy. I'm not as bad as that person. That's one of the things with guys that we love to do. We compare. We love to compare ourselves. Well, the good things we do, I've got this job, I've done this and such not. Well, once you get to where you start talking about sin, I've committed this sin. And the other guy, you aren't as bad as me because I've committed this sin. The key is to know we've all sinned and we've all fallen short. The other thing with this, I was kind of like, how did I end up getting elected to preach? You heard that story, but once I started going through this, the first thing I thought was, wow, Mark, you got a lot of scripture in there like you normally don't. Like I say, I've got his notes. But then once I started going through it, it's like, I see where he was going with this. And I think I have a little bit of an idea why I ended up here, because I have lived through this, that you're in sin, you don't tell anybody, and you can't figure out why you can't get out of that sin, and those doors always stay closed. One of the programs that I went through to try to get out of it, it was like, hey, you know, I'm doing this. I can go through this thing and I'll be healed of this thing and nobody will ever know. But one of the things it said in there is you can confess your sins to God all day long, but if you want to get healed, you need to confess it to another person. So that's what I ended up having to do, and Mark ended up being that person. So out of this, we really come up with three general points that we want to talk about. First, we deny our sin. It wasn't that bad. It was just a little sin. But sin is sin. It all separates us from God. We deflect. Well, they got me in this situation, it was the consequence or the circumstances that I was in. You know, so you try to deflect and make it somebody else's fault. But then ultimately, once that sin starts to crush you, and when I say crush, I'm talking about making wine out of grapes. They crush those grapes till there's nothing less, and they squeeze all the juice out of them. That is what sin will do to you. It will crush you. As I said, I tried to do it myself, and I couldn't do it. So doing it the right way is confessing it to God first, because he already knows, but he wants you to acknowledge that you've sinned. That's your first step, is humble. I'm a sinner. I can't do this on my own. I need somebody else, and that somebody is God, Jesus, whichever one you want to look to. A good example of this is in 2 Samuel 12:13. It's David when he had sinned, committed adultery with Bathsheba, and then had her husband killed and put him at the front of the line so that he would get killed in the battle. He was being crushed under his sin, and he came and talked to Nathan. So it says, then David said to Nathan, I have sinned against the Lord. And Nathan replied, the Lord has taken away your sin and you are not going to die. So that's one of the early examples of God's grace. So you can sin, and we all do. The key is knowing that you've sinned and then going to God and asking for his grace. He's always willing to give that grace, but you have to ask for it. Now, it's not a works. You don't have to work to get his grace, because there's nothing you can do to make him love you more. There's also nothing you can do to make him love you less. And there's no sin that's so bad that can't be forgiven. Self-experience, I can tell you. I've done some pretty bad stuff. And I've been forgiven, and look, here I am now. But over time, you heal from that. And it's a process. You're not going to confess your sin, God's going to forgive, and hey, everything's going to be great. Now, there's still consequences to that sin that you have to work your way through. Think about it from a physical injury. If you get cut, you bandage it up and whatnot. The next day, it's not fully healed and whatnot. It takes a process. It's a process that you've got to go through. And as you walk through that process, God will heal you of those things, of the sin that you've got, and the causes of that sin. That's one of the other big things, is the causes of that sin. There's something that's happened in our life. Again, we're all looking for the right word. We're all going to sin, but some people have different ways that of things that's happened to them through their lives that guide them to different types of sin. So that it's like, okay, how do I heal from that? Again, not going to take that away. Not ever going to say that it didn't happen, but how do you heal from that? And that was one of the things that I had to do. And that took being humble, and that took stepping forward and saying, yes, I know I can't do it on my own. I was a very prideful person. Anybody that knew me back then would tell you that. And now I still have a tendency to slip into that, but I do my best to stay out. I was saying in the first service, I know I sin all the time because I've gone paperless, so I don't carry a notebook anymore. I've got an iPad. It's been interesting to do, but this morning as I'm trying to get this to work, I know I sin trying to get that arranged because it wouldn't do what I wanted it to do. So, but God is gracious. It was like, settle down. It'll work. God is gracious, and sure enough, I've got it to where I can talk on it, and everything worked out well, and I learned something that I'll be able to use as I go on in the as I go forward. The next one is Psalms 51, 1 through 3. So it says, have mercy on me, O God, according to your unfailing love. There's that grace that we're talking about, that unfailing love. According to your great compassion, blot out my transgressions. Again, he doesn't remember your sin. Now, he knows it's there, and you know how all that works, who knows, but he doesn't count it against you. That is the key thing. It's when you come and ask. Wash away all my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I know my transgression and my sin is always before me. Now that is a line in there. You know that it's there, but don't dwell on it. Because as you dwell on it and you think, oh, I'm not going to do this, I'm not going to do this. You know, this thing that I don't want to do, I'm not going to do that. Guess what? The way your mind's made up, that's exactly what's going to happen. Paul talks about that. You know, Paul, who wrote 2/3 of the New Testament, talked about that and said, oh, the things that I don't want to do are the very things that I do, and the things that I should do are the things that I don't do. So if somebody that God used like that can think that way, we will be okay as long as we keep our focus on Jesus. So really when we talk about this, it's informational versus transformational. So informational is that, hey, you got to be humble, you got to know that you're a sinner, you got to confess it to God. That transformational part, that's when you've confessed it to somebody else, because then you're not carrying all that weight on your own. Somebody else is helping you carry that weight. And you know, the Bible all over says one another, bear with one another, meet with one another. All of these one another's. That means we're made to be in community. You go to God first because you want to build that relationship with Him. That's that vertical part. I was one, I didn't know how to have a relationship for a long time. But once I got to where, again, my sin was crushing me and I confessed my sin, He showed me how to have a relationship with Him. And then from there, I was able to have a relationship with others. So you've got that vertical, which is your relationship with God. You've got the horizontal, which is a relationship with others. That makes the cross. And who's at the center of that cross? Jesus is at the center of that cross. All the work that He did, the blood that He shed, everything, that was all for us. So you want to keep your focus on Him, and that's how you can get transformed. So Augustine of Hippo said, the confession of evil works is the first beginning of good works. And if you don't know who Augustine was, he was one of the early church fathers. I'm not sure which century he was in, but he was a guy that had a very low opinion of women. I've read some stuff on the early church fathers and whatnot. He was one that had a very, very low opinion of women. But you look, God used him to become one of the great people that we still read today, some, you know, 1,000 to 1,500 years later. So again, if he is one that thinks that way, he was human. Now, does that, not forgive, but does that get him out of having those opinions that he did? No, it doesn't. But he acknowledged that sin to God and said, hey, I want to be used by you. And God used him in a great way. God will do the same for you, as I said earlier, as you get to where you've confessed those sins, and then you spend time in his word, because that's the number one thing you can do. And if you're saying, Brett, I don't know where I should spend time in the Gospels. And the Gospels will tell you who Jesus Christ was and what he did for you, and then you can keep your focus on him. As I've gone through this, I don't have a fixed reading plan from one of the several that are out there. I've gotten to where the commentaries, so there's Bible commentaries out there where guys will expound on, and you know, you'll take, you know, these, what, six verses or whatever it is that we read, there'd probably be 10 pages of reading on that. So that's what I try to do on a daily basis, is that. But that has also helped prepare me for where I'm at today. Because I had an hour and a half to prepare this speech, and I was nervous. I still am nervous, but again, I have some things that I can talk about, but I have spent the time, but I turned it over to God. Said, hey, Holy Spirit, be with me. Give me the words that I need to say. Give the message to somebody that's there. Use me. It's not me that's doing this. It's him. And it's his word that transforms you. Again, it's alive and sharper than a two-edged sword, and it'll cut you to the bone, because it will. There's sin, whatever. In your life, whatever's in your life, you read through there, it will cut you to the bone, which it did to me as I started reading it. So that's why you need to read it. And it's the same word that we've been reading for over 1,000 years. You know, the Bible wasn't, you know, we didn't all of a sudden, hey, the church started and we've got the Bible. You know, these guys, early church, had to figure the church out as they went. But they recorded it down for our benefit. So now we've had it and been reading it for a long time. And that's part of God's unstoppable church, is his word, is the basis for that. It was written, you know, thousands of years ago, and is still being read today, still being used. So I talked about seeking forgiveness. You confess it to God. Once you do that, you know, your next step, again, confess it to somebody else. Because once you've done that, I've talked about this a little earlier, somebody else carries that weight. There's that weight of sin. If you've ever heard that, the weight of sin is unbearable. It, like I said, it will crush you. I can't say that enough, that it will crush you if you don't turn that over to God. But you turn it over to God, but then you also have to tell somebody else. So find someone that you trust and confess that to them. And on the other side of that, if you're somebody that somebody comes to and says, hey, can we have a conversation? Make sure that you're open to that conversation, because it's very, very important that you be open and say, hey, I understand. I understand what you've done, and you think that it's the, I don't want to say it's the end of the world, but you are no different than what I am. I am a sinner too, so I feel with you. I will help you carry this weight. I will walk with you. I'm not going to walk in front of you. I'm not going to walk behind you, but I will walk with you. So Dietrich Bonhoeffer says, a person who confesses their sins in the presence of the brethren of Christ knows that they are no longer alone with their sin, but instead are now experiencing the very presence of God in the reality of the other person. So I say, you're no longer carrying it alone. That person that you're confessing it to, he has the Holy Spirit in him. If you've asked Jesus to come into your heart, you've got your Holy Spirit in you. Now, the Holy Spirit has taught him things different because of his experiences and whatnot than the ones that you have. So therefore, you complement each other. But you also have to spend time together. You know, Sunday morning, we talk about this all the time. We should be just a launch point. You know, we don't want you to come, you know, 1 hour a week. And if you're coming for 1 hour a week, and you're not ever reading your Bible, and you can't figure out why nothing good is happening, doors are not opening and whatnot, that's part of it. I was there. I lived it. And it was because, like, why can I never advance? Why can't I do this? Why, you know, doors always slam shut. It's always... The other question is, what is God's will for my life? What does he want me to do? Well, his will for your life is to love God and love people. And once you start doing that, wherever your sphere of influence is, he will start to use you. Because we say this all the time also. God doesn't care what he's doing through you. He cares about what he's doing in you. And if you won't let him do anything in you, if your heart is hard and you won't let that word get in there, he can't do anything in you. But then once he started to do things in you, then he can start to do things through you. people that would never listen to you, doors that were always closed, they will swing wide open. And you, I don't want to say there's no effort, but it's like, wow, I didn't have to do much to get that door to open. Now we have to put our part in, which again, spend time in the Word, spend time with other believers, so that you are prepared when the time comes. I had said I was on the West Coast doing a project the last couple weeks. Last Thursday, I was at the gas station filling up, and a guy comes up to me and says, "Hey, I'm going to sell you something that's going to change your life." And I said, "Really?" And he had a cleaner that he wanted to sell me. And I said, "Well, you know what's going to change your life and what is at the middle of your life is that is Jesus." He's like, "Well, yeah, I think that too." And so we had a great conversation. But as I said earlier, I said, "You know, he's delivered me from this." And he's like, "Oh, well, anything bad that could happen." He says, "You know, anything that was bad, I went down that path." And I said, "God is good." And he said, "Yes." I said, "He is the only thing." I was able to quote some scripture again because I had spent the time. And then God gave me that opportunity for him to come up. It was just funny because he just immediately, we started talking. And then when we left, we parted because he said, "You know, he's going to sell me this thing. It was going to change my life." I'm like, "Dude, I can't take it on the plane anyway." So, but we still kept talking probably for another 5 minutes. And by the time we left, he said, "Hey, thanks for the fellowship." And I said the same. And we both went our own way. Probably will never see that guy again. But I like to think that there was an impression made. That again, it wasn't me that made that. It was me being used by God to make that impression. Because he made an impression on me. I'm in the middle of California. And what do we think out here in the Midwest? They're all a bunch of kind of different people out there. But as I've been out there, I find, yeah, there are people just like we are. So more than one person has surprised me, I guess. I will put it that way. So another one of the, from St. Alfonso Liguori. "For a good confession, three things are necessary. An examination of your conscience." So that examination of your conscience is you're being convicted of sin. And that's the Holy Spirit talking to you saying you shouldn't be doing that. What do a lot of us do? "Well, I really want to do this because I really enjoy this." But again, that's that sin that's separating you from God and ultimately it will crush you. Excuse me. "Poor me, sorrow. Oh, I'm such a sinner. I'm such a bad person." No, I am sorry, God, for the sin that I did that separates us. And it's a separation and it damages that relationship. Again, even the little ones. I do it every time. Am I great at always asking forgiveness? Not always. So I put myself at the top of that list of every time you sin, you need to make sure you ask for forgiveness. Now we know we'd be like every time we said something or did something, "Well, I need forgiveness for that." Again, you can think those in your mind. Ann Voskamp had a thing where she talked about one-word prayers. "Hey, forgive. Sorry." I do those all the time. Again, from the past, things come out, and it's like, "Oh, where did that come from? Shouldn't have said that." And so it's always, "Hey, I'm sorry for that. Help me move on. Help me be better." Again, God, you do that. Use me. I can't do it on my own. Then the other one is the determination to avoid sin. Hey, you know, if you have a proclivity to do whatever the sin is, stay out of those situations. You know, it's much better to say, "I'm not going to do this" before you ever go anywhere than it is to you get in that situation and then you have to bare knuckle it and say, "Oh, I really shouldn't be doing this," but your friends are all like, "Hey, come on, let's go, let's do this." And it's much easier to avoid those situations than it is to get out of those situations once you're already there. So John and the band are going to come up and lead us in a couple songs. We've got one song, then we've got communion, then a final song. But a couple things that I, again, from a closing perspective, examine yourself. Say, "Hey, I am a sinner." Humble yourself. Say, I am a sinner. I know I'm a sinner. And know that you're in the same boat. Or not the same boat, same storm with everybody. That everybody's a sinner. We've all got our boat. So then you confess that sin to God. Then you find a friend to confess that to. And then you spend time in God's Word. And then again, try to avoid those situations that you get yourself into that are so easy. It's so easy to just walk in and, "Hey, oh, well, here I am again. Great, what did I do?" No, think, step back, think about those. Say, "I'm going to go a different path. I'm not going to go down the same old path." It will take time, but you can get there. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for this beautiful day that you've given us. Thank you for the church, and the church being the people that are in this building. and all of your buildings that are out there, whether that be a house, whether that be under a tree, whether that be a palace, which some of the buildings are that people worship in. Thank you for your church that is unstoppable, and is unstoppable because of your power, not ours, nothing that we do. Thank you for the things that you have done. I thank you for who you are, most of all, and your grace and your forgiveness that you give to each and every one of us as we ask for it. We love you and praise you and ask all these things in your precious Son's name. Amen.